Our speaker this morning is Mr. James F. Baray, Chief Executive Officer of BorgWarner Corporation since 1972, and he was elected chairman in 1975. Mr. Baray has been with BorgWarner since 1961. To put things in perspective, BorgWarner is a fairly large corporation, 60,000 employees, a little bit larger than DuPage County, Jack. They're the 121st largest corporation in the United States and have operations in 25 countries of the world. Mr. Baray is a director of many, is on the board of directors of many different corporations and organizations. Perhaps of interest to those who are into communications, he's one of the directors of Time Incorporated. He's a trustee of the Chicago Museum of Science and Industry and of the University of Chicago. He's also an advisory council member of Northwestern University's Graduate School of Management. Mr. Baray is a trustee of the Christ Church in Oak Brook and the Chicago Sunday Evening Club, and also a committee member of Young Life, which is a youth evangelistic organization operating all around the country. His wife Barbara and he have three sons and two daughters and reside in Hinsdale. I'd like to introduce Mr. James Baray.
Thank you, Vic, and good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and DuPage County officials. I knew marvelous things were happening in our county, but I didn't think they were happening this early in the morning. And I, too, am very pleased this morning that there's not going to be an election. Knowing what's gone before me, I know I would lose. It was very enjoyable and very inspiring, believe me, to hear that talent. I'm also very grateful to think that I can be among you this morning. You beautiful people, and a beautiful day, and a joyous time of the year. We've just left Thanksgiving, and we're in the period of Christmas. And I'm grateful to think that I'm here, knowing that we have brothers and sisters, some of whom are part of the Vote People. Some are sitting in Cambodia, starving. Some are walking the streets of Iran. Others are hostages there. Some are sitting in the bowels of our urban area, frightened, uneducated, without work. Some are lonely, maybe near a university here, sitting in a room locked, without the self-confidence to walk outside and join the crowd. I'm grateful to be with you. Anytime I speak to a group, I'm always concerned. I'm concerned as to what can I say that would be of interest to them. And I'm particularly concerned today because I've been asked to speak about myself. And that can become self-serving. I've acquiesced to this, and I hope you accept it in the spirit in which it's given. Put some historical perspective before I start that, which maybe was of interest to you, and I think was interest to me, and may be of interest to you. I think when a historian looks back at the year 2000, he may or she may look at the World War II, and realize from that point until now, we've had a greater change in our political arena in the history of our world. If you look back in World War II, 80% of the landmass and 75% of the population was under the Western powers. 25% of that land mass and 25% of the people were under one Western world, the British Empire. And it has disintegrated. Today we have 170 different sovereignties in that short period of time seeking their place in the world and seeking their part of power in their part of the economic pie. From 1947 to 1943, we had the greatest economic boom in our history. We had an average growth of over 5% per year. And many thought that this would continue. And there's other futuristic types telling us that maybe that too is gone, and possibly we'll have to live with slower growth. I don't have to tell you about the technological explosion that has occurred in all aspects of our life, and what impact that has had on all of us, and particularly our young. We have played a price for this, a big price possibly. It's had a big impact on all of us individuals, our homes, our churches, our schools. And as a consequence, we possibly have some difficulties ahead today that are things that we have not dealt with before. The home has been overcome with a wave of permissiveness, whereby many of us were taught with our children that we should permit them to do their thing. Many homes today are not a citadel of love, but are broken and are permeated with hate rather than true love. Many of the homes today are not a place where children are taught what is right or wrong. The church has not been immune from this. They too have been part of the culture which I've outlined. For an oversimplification, we've had one series of churches who had a strong vertical relationship with God and who felt very strongly that it wasn't necessary to have a horizontal relationship with our fellow man, and therefore became inbred. And many of us were even told that this is a short journey, your next journey is more important. That gave people concern because they wanted to relate to the needs of our society. So then we had another church that developed, one in which, for a lack of a term, we will call the social gospel. And that church neglected its vertical relationship to our God and became completely enmeshed in the social needs of our society, reacting to their fellow man. And they too found a void, because all of a sudden, as they were reacting to that need, they realized there was a spiritual dimension missing. Our schools were not immune from this permissiveness. We've gone to open campuses. We've gone to the point where the kid is the king and queen rather than the teacher and the content. We have found that possibly quality education is secondary to other social issues. It's secondary to having fun rather than prepare our people for the future. Now something about myself. Like many of you in this room, I'm a very fortunate person. I was reared in a home where there was considerable love. I was reared in a home in which there was a belief in God. And it was a loving atmosphere, one in which was always open and filled with the love that is so needed. And I look back and I took for granted things such as, I am the Lord thy God, he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Do unto others, love thy neighbor as thyself, judge not that ye may be judged, honor thy father and mother, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. I didn't even challenge the fact that there was not a God, or that there was not a belief. Then, like many of you, I had the privilege of going on to the university, and things start happening. I became involved with the philosophers and the psychologists, and involved with the environment in which I was living in. And quickly, the belief that I thought was a self-evident truth and part of me started disintegrating. And it wasn't very long that it wasn't a question, as the kid said in the 60s, whether God was dead. I wasn't even sure whether he existed at all. Then I went on to my career, a career that I've been very fortunate. In the early part, I was extremely disillusioned, not in my career point, but when I met persons who I held in high esteem, who were held high esteem in what they call the church community. And I had an opportunity to see their ethical standard on close up. And it gave me great concern that the Me Tooism had already crept into our society, and that the relationship to the fellow man was dropping, and the ethics that I thought was a self-evident truth was not being practiced by many. Then I've had the privilege of leadership, being with leaders throughout the world. When I look back, it's almost unbelievable to me that I've met on a personal basis with 21 heads of state around the world. And then I noticed something among the successful. I noticed that they had all the things that they were seeking, as to whether it was political power, as to whether it was leadership in business, or whether it was leadership in the academic field. There was something missing. They were using, quote, successful people, were using the materialism around them as a crutch. The only beliefs they really had was the utilization of the material things which they possessed. And there was an emptiness. And it was through that process that it became very apparent to me that the beliefs of my childhood were being reconfirmed, that I had something that they didn't have. And leaving God out of your life became very apparent to me, and doing it on your own, and ignoring God, and I can handle it on my own concept, is not the road to success, but leads to self-centeredness, selfishness, emptiness. In short, it does not work. Therefore, as I've stated, the beliefs of the child that I had were reconfirmed. And I say to you today, to whether you're a business person, a politician, a teacher, a housewife, I say to all of you that ethics and morality do not change on the stroke of midnight. Material values may change from generation to generation, but the spiritual values are constant and absolute. Perhaps the greatest single dilemma that we have as persons today and as individuals is to how we can find our position in what we believe is God's business in the social order, in justice, in the freedom of men. In the face of what's happening to us, the self-indulgence that we see, the opportunistic attitudes and the pleasure-seeking attitudes that our society has taken on almost as a uniform. I, for one, am convinced that nothing is more important than we return to the spiritual values of our forefathers. I am totally convinced that nothing is more critical than our attitude towards our fellow man. And I would like to suggest to you that wherever you work, that you be concerned with those that you work with and for whom you are responsible, wherever that may be. Try to make sure that the place where you work is known for excellence, and the people who work for you can take pride in their work. And consider the welfare of your associates and employees as important as your own. Give yourself without expecting something in return. That ethical standard will not guarantee success, but I'm convinced that no real success is possible without it. And I noticed you had a precedent at this prayer breakfast, and I'm also thankful for prayer. And I would like to close with a prayer today, if I may, and then we will be we'll have the benediction. Be with those who are passionately seeking change in our society, and with those who are angrily resisting change, that we may respect one another, even as we work in diverse ways for peace on earth and goodwill among men. Forgive that heady humanity which allows us to care about people suffering across the city or the ocean, but leaves us cold to the need of those across the table or the desk. Break down our defenses and lower our guard, that for the brief days we may be defenseless before you, vulnerable as children, ready for miracles, eager for surprises, till enemies become friends, and there comes peace on earth and goodwill among men. Thank you for your attention.